Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. This is the word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I caught a possum this morning. It's really an interesting way to start a Sunday morning when you're getting ready to come to church and preach, to come face to face with a possum in your yard. Generally speaking, I love nature and animals, but there are a few exceptions. I have a lot of trouble living harmoniously with anything that has more than four legs, for example. The more legs, the worse. So spiders are worse than stink bugs, and those creepy house centipedes that everybody gets in old houses in western Pennsylvania are possibly the worst thing ever. And there are a few four-legged creatures, though, that I'm not a huge fan of right now, possums being one of them, and raccoons being the other. You see, we have chickens in our yard, which is why we have possums and raccoons and hawks and coyotes, believe it or not, in our yard as well. I'm getting funny looks. There are coyotes that live in the park by our house. We've had trouble with hawks off and on, but they're pretty easy to keep out of the chickens. We just keep the chickens in the coop. But raccoons will open the doors to the chicken coop. They will dig under the chicken coop. They will do everything possible to get in there. If it's a small one, it wants the eggs and the chicken feed. If it's a large one, it just wants a chicken dinner. The other night when Tim was away, I heard a commotion in the backyard at about 2 a.m. Usually my chickens are pretty quiet, so I knew by their squawking there was something wrong. So I stumbled around the dark house and managed to find shoes and a broom. I'm not sure what I thought I was going to do with a broom, but it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And when I opened the chicken run, several of the hens came running out and hid behind me. I figured there was another small raccoon in the coop. We'd caught a young one, maybe a few months old, a little while back. So I opened up the coop, ready to chase out this little raccoon with a broom. And I found a raccoon roughly the size of a small child hanging out in the rafters of the chicken coop. So after I got over the shock of coming face to face with just about the biggest raccoon on the entire planet in the middle of the night, I cautiously turned to go back and get a flashlight and something more effective than a broom if it should get really angry, and my dog, because I have a big dog, and that's why I have a big dog. She's a guard dog. She's supposed to chase off the dangerous things in the night, right? She's a beefy and intimidating animal, and she's very protective. So I figured if the raccoon came after me, the dog would have my back. The problem is my dog is also a heavy sleeper, and she's old, and she's going deaf. So I opened the door to the kids' room where the dog sleeps, and I called her name and got no response. Sparkle! I was trying to yell at her without waking the kids up, too. Nothing, just snoring in the corner of the room. Finally, after unsuccessfully waking up my snoring deaf old dog, I had to go out back with my fortified defense and no dog. Fortunately, by that time, I had wasted enough time trying to wake up my old sleeping dog that the raccoon had taken off out of the yard and I didn't see it again for the rest of the night. No thanks to my dog. In this passage of 1 Thessalonians, trust me, this is all going to come together here at some point. In this next passage of 1 Thessalonians, Paul is urging the people to be diligent. Don't fall asleep when you're supposed to be paying attention. Don't be like Sparkle, sleeping in the corner and missing all the excitement. For a couple of weeks now, we've been reading together about the what next. What happens after this age is over? What happens when we're no longer on this earth? There's a great deal of mystery surrounding it, as we've seen. But there are a few things that we know for sure. We know the important parts, especially Jesus is triumphant. We will be allowed at long last to do nothing other than praise God. All the Christians from across time and space will join together in one big, great multitude of voices singing God's glory. One of the many things we don't know about it is when. The Thessalonians thought they knew when, and once they discovered they were wrong, they ran into all sorts of problems, the greatest of which was probably that they began to run the risk of living without any expectation of Jesus' return. They'd been waiting so long, they forgot to keep waiting. Tim goes on an annual hunting trip with some guys from work. That's where he was the night the raccoon was in my chicken coop. He went a week or two ago this year, and because it's a crazy time of year in general for us, I could not wait for him to get back. Fielding the kids alone for a few days was a bit of a chore, and I was starting to find myself in dire need of adult conversation. He was scheduled to come home sometime Saturday evening. I assumed that meant after dinner at some point and that I would get a call or a text message when he was on his way home. I waited all afternoon expectantly for a message or a call that he was on his way, but I didn't get anything. When I didn't hear anything, I actually sort of forgot to keep waiting. There were other things that needed to be done. The kids needed clean clothes. The kids needed to be kept out of disastrous trouble. So when I heard people shuffling around and dumping things on the front porch, I was a bit startled. I had just ordered pizza, and my first thought was, there is no way the pizza guy is here already. Tim startled me because I had stopped waiting for him. When I stopped waiting for him, I started waiting for the pizza instead. This is what the Thessalonians did. They waited for what seemed like too long with no word, and then they sort of stopped waiting. They were no longer alert. They moved on to pay attention to other things instead. Often this passage is read with great urgency. Be ready. He's coming back really soon. But urgency isn't really quite the right stress for this particular passage, or at least it's not the only stress for this passage. It's more like perseverance or fortitude. The Thessalonians are weary from waiting for Jesus. They've been waiting so long, way longer than they've expected. Maybe some of us have too. And that's not to say we should lose our sense of urgency and preparedness, but Paul is saying that we should temper that urgency because we really just have No idea. It's not just that Jesus might return any minute. He might. But he also might not return for another 2,000 years. We're always to be watchful, no matter how long it takes. And in the meantime, as Calvin says, since Satan is always breathing down our necks and is ready and scheming to plunge us into 1,000 perils, we ought to be no less watchful and on our guard. Ours is not a patient culture. We want everything right now. We, like the Thessalonians, expect things to happen quickly or on our own timeline. And it's hard to wait. It's hard to be vigilant through a long night when there are things all around us that are immediate, things that offer some sort of instant payoff. These distractions are different for each of us. People get distracted by careers, money, things, other people, political agendas, food, drugs, gambling, TV, malls, anything to dull the boredom of sitting around waiting for something we have no timeline for. These distractions are like falling asleep in the night when you're on watch, though. The sneakiest and most effective distractions are the ones that are disguised as something good. We're called to help our neighbors. But when we get so busy trying to save the world, we lose our focus on Jesus, we've fallen asleep. We're supposed to be good stewards of our resources, but when everything revolves around numbers rather than Jesus, we have fallen asleep. We are supposed to be the light of Christ in the world, but when we're too busy arguing with people about how wrong they are to point them to Jesus, we've fallen asleep in the night. We don't know when the day of the Lord will come to us. We don't even know for each one of us if it will be a personal day or universal. Will it be our own deathbed, or will it be the day that Christ comes back with triumphant trumpets sounding? Is our faith more than just the motions? When we are held accountable? Is it only skin deep? Or is it genuine, lifelong, patient, yearning faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord? We are called to alertness and focus. We are meant to be people who stay awake while the world falls asleep. We're meant to watch for things that everyone else misses. This doesn't mean we'll be perfect at it. We're still human, after all. It's kind of like in an old Western or an action movie where a group makes camp somewhere and they have to take turns keeping watch and to help one another stay awake so that they won't be snuck up on by enemies. Praise the Lord, we aren't left to try and stay awake by ourselves. And praise the Lord, God knows we aren't perfect. In Jesus Christ, we have been awakened to our faith. The day of the Lord has not come yet, but it's also already come in Jesus, who woke us up and said, "Keep watch." It's easy to be distracted by the things around us. It's easy to get tired of the wait and to forget to wait, or to start waiting for the pizza instead. It's hard to be the church in a changing world, waiting for Jesus to come back. It's easy to fall asleep rather than sit and watch through the long night. That's one of the many reasons we are called to be a community together. We can say to one another, "Wake up!" We can point to Jesus in the world around us to awaken one another when we doze off. Together, even when the night is dark and long and the wait is longer than we expect or shorter than we expect, we can constantly remind one another to focus on Jesus and his work, and remain diligent and watchful through the night. Amen.